Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Feo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Thursday's Hammer Down News. I am Evan Batterton. I'm your host. Here at Thursday's Hammer Down News, we do our very best to provide interesting and controversial stories, things like that. And if interesting and controversial is our business, then business is booming at this moment in time. Until my co-host and my guests for my panel all get on here, I'll just go ahead and throw out some current events. Everybody put down your chopsticks, because in China, I saw this article today, in China, the Chinese people were at a zoo and were confused because they thought they were looking at a lion exhibit until said lion started barking like a dog. The Chinese had put a dog in the lion exhibit. That's one of the more interesting things. As far as bad news goes, West versus East relations have gotten very, very bad. Obama has told 8th-degree judo black belts and Russian sambo master and owner of 8,000 nukes, Vladimir Putin, that he acts like a bored child. That certainly does not bode well for East-West relations. So, how are we looking on everybody getting in?
Blair is here.
Okay, so Blair is going to be our first guest as part of the panel. Blair has an amazing website. You do a search for Global Noncompliance on Facebook, too, and you'll find his page on Facebook. Blair, welcome to the panel. Give me panel or give me death. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me on. Good to speak to you.
All right. All right. Is my co-hammer in yet?
Not yet. He's trying.
Okay. Also today, I ran across an article
here.
That sort of...
Sorry. Sarah's
who's
here.
Who's here? Sarah's here?
I'm here.
Sarah, welcome to the panel. I like my women like I like my panel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Sarah, it's been a little over 2 weeks since you've seen me. Are you holding up okay?
I am good. How are you holding up?
I'm fair. I'm holding up fair. I want to give a shout out to my brother, Jaron. Today's his birthday, so I want to tell him I love him and happy birthday.
Happy
birthday.
Yeah. I also want to tell him that my friend from Israel, yes, I have a friend from Israel. Her name is Lee Moore. She says to tell him Mazel Tov and many Mazel Tovs to come. She lives in Tel Aviv. Jeff says, last show we had a bit of a problem because Jeff had an emergency, and we'll talk about that in just a second before we get into the show. His brother was shot in Mexico. As we know, there's a lot of violence in Mexico. I believe it was a subdivision of Mexico City. It can be very dangerous there, especially around the Michoacan area. His brother is a teacher and was shot by what appeared to be a group in a robbery by a group of younger Mexicans, no older than 14. Jeff has also had a very traumatizing week the past week. Prince Frizzo of the Netherlands passed away after being in a year and a half coma. When I asked Jeff for a response, he said, and I quote, "Nobody fucking cares."
Nobody does. Nobody cares.
Oh, there he is, my co-hammer, Jeff. What's up,
hey.
Dude?
Hey.
Yeah.
All right, so everybody's here. Throw the panel down the well and wish for more panels. We're doing a show today on Monarch Mind Control.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a continuation of our MK Ultra series, and we told everybody we were going to get into this, and here we are. Specifically today, we're doing beta because it's what most people have heard of. It's one of the most interesting things. This is going to be an ongoing series. Everybody needs to take note. We're not going to be doing a show on it every single week until we're finished, but we are going to finish this series if it kills us.
We're going to get
and
old.
You never know. It just might. So, Jeff, that was a great opener. What did you think of it?
A great opener? What do you mean?
A great opening monologue. I mean, did you enjoy the tribute to Prince Frizzo?
I heard a little bit of it. I was stressing the fuck out because of Skype. But, you know,
and
yeah.
For everybody that doesn't know how Prince Frizzo died, Prince Frizzo was a skier. He liked to ski, and he literally skied and fell in a hole.
Yeah, that is a true story. And it sounds
that's how.
But that's a true story. He
died in the old Sonny Bono way, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Except he hit a hole and not a tree.
Well, he had it coming to him. He was skiing with the taxpayers' money, with his Italian royal family. And the son of a bitch fell in some kind of hole or something while skiing. That's cool.
Yeah, so fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck it. Nobody cares about him. And
right.
he was in a coma for like a year and a half. Well, that's what Evan is saying. He knows it better than me.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about him. I'm still surprised how the fuck Evan knows all that shit. And that he knows that.
Well, you know, and you were also surprised when I brought up that the national anthem, you guys swear fealty to the King of Spain. I mean, I keep tabs on you, brother. I keep close tabs.
You should, man. Oh, shit.
Okay, Monarch Mind Control, guys. Who wants to start up? Jeff, what do you know? My co-host, what is Monarch Mind Control? What do you know about it?
Monarch Mind Control, well, it is... Let me say it in a short story. They used this, and we were talking about the music industry and Hollywood and all that kind of shit today. But if we get the full picture of Monarch Mind Control, it is to traumatize a person at a very young age, and they can do they kind of make a split personality, a alter ego, and with that they can do whatever they want. Most of the time, this is done, by intense traumas, child abuse, seeing people being bashed in the rocks in front of your eyes. It may sound all very weird, but I've heard stories from that they had a little girl from 6 years old, and they put her in a little jail cell, and they got nothing, only the doctors and a little bit of food once a day. She didn't have contact with nobody, and after 3 weeks they would send in a little bunny rabbit with her. And of course, this little girl, because it's in her nature, you know, she's going to share her food with little bunny rabbits. She is going to bond with the rabbit. And after a few weeks, when she's all attached to this, you know, you got to remember, this is her whole world. She doesn't know shit from the outside world. She's isolated in a cell. She only sees the scientists once a week. And after a few weeks, they will come in and they will just grab the little bunny and they rip it apart. And the little girl, she doesn't know what to do. And this is such intense trauma that she automatically, well, naturally creates a split personality. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to deal with it, you know, to push that shit off of her. And they can use this split personality. You know, the CIA does this with drugs. They can use it in any kind of way, influences. And they can trigger this alter ego in the future. You know, it's just all very sick shit. And the CIA was already involved in it, and I'm not pretty sure about this, but I think the Swedes, they created this, they have taken examples from the fucking crusade and that kind of shit, you know, but these days, it's all different. They used in the music industry with Katy Perry and Kesha and Justin Bieber, and you know what that shit is. I don't know a lot about the specific people, because I don't listen to those pieces of shit, but I know a lot about the techniques that they use. But I think you know more about this than me, Evan, to be honest.
Well, I wanted to go to Sarah first and ask her what, go ahead and define beta programming for everybody listening, if you could.
Just to elaborate on the split personality situation, they call it dissociation. So you don't actually create a split personality, you create a different place in your mind to go.
Exactly.
You dissociate from yourself, and it can be brought on by many things, and trauma.
Like what?
Trauma. Basically, sexually based trauma is their biggest key in this.
Yep.
Especially with the small children, and they use women or small girls more so than men.
Yeah, it's really fucking sick.
They basically will do everything they can to detach themselves from reality, and you can split up the psyche in more than just one or two different alter egos. You can have up to, I mean, it's infinite, however many you can, just depends on your level of dissociation, how much trauma you've been through.
Okay. I want to go to Blair next, and I want to throw him sort of a curveball, and I don't really mean to do that, but I don't lob softballs either.
Well, he knows
Blair, what to do. Blair, you're my movie guy. You and I, we watch a lot of movies. We keep tabs on movies. You've seen The Butterfly Effect, I'm sure, haven't you, with Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah, I've seen that. It was available, yeah. I've seen that.
Is that related to what we're talking about in any way?
It's meant to be one of the better examples of a Hollywood film that shows the beta programming or the monarch programming. So it's meant to be very good compared to some others, you know. Like the David Lynch film that I watched last night, that was good as well, but I don't think it's, I don't know what's the way to describe it. It's not as obvious, you know, it's hidden under like very arty sort of film. But with The Butterfly Effect, I think, you know, because it's a fairly standard Hollywood film, there, you know, it's quite easy to, gives lots of references to the things that we're talking about. It's a good example, if anybody's not seen it.
Wow.
The Butterfly Effect, that name sounds familiar for me.
Yeah, it's got Ashton Kutcher and somebody else in it. I can't remember the actress's name.
It has a time travel theme, sort of, too, but it's like every time he time travels, it looks as if the people that he knows have different personalities.
Okay.
Which I thought was very symbolic of
yeah.
Monarch period.
Very much.
And I could be wrong, I frequently am, but I think when we talk about beta programming, don't we have to talk about sex and sexual abuse?
Sarah?
Yeah.
What I've got here is, it says that beta is referred to as the sexual programming. The programming eliminates all learned moral convictions and stimulates the primitive sexual instinct. Devoid of inhibitions, cat alters may come out at this level. And it was what we were talking about last week. Remember we were talking about the foundation of what the CIA and the experience by Kathy O'Brien and how her father had abused her. I think what I was reading on is that they'll raise the child, like say it's a female child, they'll raise the child with lots of love until they're like 3 years old. So that's all they've known. They've got like nothing's bad has happened to them yet. And then they use the father, and he is told to, or the way they instill the anchor for all of what's going to happen is to get the father to rape the child when they're three. So he's like the one that she's grown up with and has the closest bond to, and then that's why he has to do it. And that creates a tremendous trauma, and that used as the anchoring point for all the programming they're going to start doing, you know, over the years to come. You know, so it's very disturbing.
And oh, my God, the father.
Yes.
So, in that kind of, well, we'll talk about the Vatican another time. Sarah, these pop stars, a lot of them start as kids.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Disney. Let's go to Disney first.
Oh, shit, Disney.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about Miley Cyrus, we can talk about Britney Spears, we can talk about Christina Aguilera, whatever. Expanding on what Blair just said, do you believe that there's a possibility, and even Justin Timberlake, even the males? Let me ask this first. Do you believe that there can be beta programming with males, or is it just females?
I think so, but I think that they're exposed to different things for different reasons, and a lot of them are built up to be handlers as opposed to, you know, a beta.
I was thinking about Justin Bieber, but hey, fuck, that's a girl, so that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
But they were saying that.
But
what is up with
Disney, Jeff? The Disney Channel, though, it's rumored that all throughout Hollywood, every single child star that you can think of, they're all put through this kind of thing. That's how they're able to be such good actors, that they're able to dissociate and become something else, and they can create that. And that's how it's so easy for them to be able to act as well as they can.
Yeah.
According to who?
Corey Haim, they both spoke of being involved in a pedophile ring, basically, when they were on the set of movies that they were shooting. There's just pedophiles everywhere, and they got abused and stuff like that. So it's just a pedophile around Hollywood, whether it's in Disney or anywhere else.
I've heard and seen, guys, that, and I even saw this on a mainstream media show, Inside Edition, that a lot of the child agents, the talent agencies and things like that, the agents are either pimping the kids out.
Yeah, they're pimping.
Or raping them.
Yeah. Exactly. They're pimping them.
Would an agent be considered a handler, do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, exactly. I've heard some very fucked up stories that, you know, Masonic, how do you say it, Freemasons, they are showing off pictures with, you know, these are 40, 50-year-old guys, and they're sitting in a fucking hot tub with 12-year-old girls. You know, this is all in the this is just sick. This is all in the Hollywood culture, and of course Disney, it also comes in there. You know, it's just very fucking sick, and I think it's very right that they are pimping them. You know, because those kids, they don't know better. They are born in this shit. You know, you gotta feel bad for them, even for fucking Disney.
Don't they grow up when they basically grow up with cameras around them all the time, don't they?
Yeah, they don't know any better. They are born in this shit. You know.
Well, Blair, what point do you think they stop needing to do the abuse? Do they stop? I mean, how long would something like this take? I know it's probably an individual thing, but
I've heard something like after 12 years, but I'm not sure about that.
What would you say, Blair?
As far as the, you know, creating the altars and using trauma-based mind control to do that, then that sounds about right. Once they start getting up to, you know, when they're going to start pimping them out, basically, to us, you know, to the general public, you start releasing singles or being on
films. I don't think it's the general public, to be honest. I think these are also people in the industry, you know, and this is like their little extra.
Yeah. But I mean that they put them on the TV for us. We were going, adorable kid in that film, but we don't know what terrible things that
happened to her.
She's had to go through.
So what's a good way for everybody to be able to spot a possible victim of this beta programming? I mean, what would be a good identifier? I know that we
That's
all
hard.
Know some of the common identifiers, but.
That's a hard
Blair,
question.
I mean, can you name one or two that we would know?
Well, I think having a handler always there, you know, when you see these famous people, you know, and they've always got somebody with them, you know, that's not to protect them from fans. That's to protect them from, you know, them doing or saying something they shouldn't. Because the handler has the codes that he can quickly just say, whisper something in the ear, and it'll change the altar back to, you know, be the nice girl now, sort of thing, you know. When you see people displaying different personalities when you shouldn't be, it's like, you know, when Britney did that British accent in an interview, you know, there's a time and a place for British accent, and it's not in the middle of an interview and just like speaking away as if, you know, she wasn't doing that. You know, so that's another sign. It's these, you know, the altar is breaking through, and like strange behaviour and other characters coming out, and you know, things that find when they shouldn't be. You know.
So as far as seeing a handler and everything like that, would a good example be Miley Cyrus because of her dad Billy Ray always being around her and never leaving her alone?
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, I think, you know, he's the one that's been given her keywords. And I was going to say earlier, that, you know, that those two lads, was it Corey Feldman and somebody else, I can't remember his name, you know, those two, he came out on camera and said that, he talked about the paedophiles in the film industry. And I think him and his friend were paired up, and they often do that to the children, is they pair them up with somebody all through their life. And that's why I think you see, like, Selena Gomez and Bieber together on and off all the time, because they've been paired up. And it's kind of like, I think their function is to keep the other in check to a certain degree, you know, so they don't need to have, you know, even when they're alone, they'll still keep each other in check, you know.
Right.
And their handlers aren't around and stuff like that, you know. They're the go-to people, you know. If Bieber has a problem and he doesn't know who to talk to, he probably phones Selena Gomez first and vice versa, you know. And that's what the pairing's for, is, you know, just to give them...
Now, I wonder if they have the same talent agent, too. I often wonder that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Same bodyguard, maybe a handler would appear to be a bodyguard or something like that, security, but
yeah,
they're actually an handler.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
Anna Nicole,
that's what I would do, you know.
Yeah. Anna Nicole married her lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. She's a great example. Anna Nicole,
There's another example as well. You know, it could be, you know, when you see them getting older and they end up getting married 3-4 times, and every guy they marry is some sleazeball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's their handler. They're being passed from person to person. You know, but to the public, it's like, oh, Anna Nicole just got married again. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, the first one I heard about was when Mariah Carey married the CEO from Sony Records, and that guy was a real big douchebag. I've heard Michael Jackson speaking publicly on stage during a concert, just breaks out and starts going into this rant about how he's just an evil person, and talking about him and Mariah's relationship and how she just felt trapped and she couldn't do anything or go anywhere or see anyone or talk to anybody. And I can't remember his name, but he's a real big scumbag, and I think he's one of them. And also, Britney Spears was recently engaged to some older guy. I don't know who it was, but I've got a suspicion that would have been her handler or her new handler.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that's a lot of time.
What about Simon Cowell? Simon Cowell makes a fit for a good handler.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, being, what is he, a producer or something like that?
I mean, just check out his attitude. He seems like he's right for it.
Yeah, he pisses me the fuck off sometimes. He really does.
Yeah,
he really does. Just like Piers Morgan. He really pisses me off.
We were talking about
keys. What's that?
No, you said Piers Morgan, and I said I want to punch that cunt in the face. I hate that fucking bitch.
Yeah, I really fucking do.
I can remember that he had an interview with Jesse Ventura on CNN. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, I know which one. He had two of them, actually, but the one in the live studio audience was the best.
Yeah, Jesse, he killed the fucking audience. He did, you know, I don't know his motives. You know, maybe he's some kind of Alex Jones, I don't know. But he fucking told some facts right there. You have been in the Navy SEAL Team 6, if I'm correct. What the fuck am I hearing on the background? Alarm?
I don't know. But I did want to ask Sarah something, because I asked Blair, you know, what some markers were that the public could see. Sarah, he said handlers, you know, and we said Miley Cyrus and her dad. He brought up Anna Nicole, which was perfect, because I think you can transition into telling some people, especially as it concerns Anna Nicole and her image, what are some other warning signs for everybody out there to say, you know what, I bet that person's been fucked about. What would be some markers?
One that sticks out in my mind is Lady Gaga and her relationship with her father. a lot of people don't know that it's at least 50% of everything that she earns goes straight to him.
Really?
Oh, and I always found that very suspicious. And she's always had kind of an off relationship with her father. And I think that it has something to do with him and the way he brought her up and how he introduced her to that form of monarch mind control as a small child, as you see how she acts now.
I think that she is the Lady Gaga is the perfect fucking example for this. Because every time you see her on stage, you know, this is just plain fucking weird. What is wrong with the girl? You know, she goes in like really weird, you know, almost satanic fucking outfit. She goes on stage.
They're satanic outfits that a lot of the stuff that you will see her wearing, I've seen pictures of from like
the 50s
of the Rothschilds and some of the parties that they have thrown where they wear the exact same kind of outfits and masks of the shit that you would see Lady Gaga on stage with.
Yeah. So, this makes me think of, what is her name? Not Britney Spears, but Beyonce. You know, Beyonce,
yeah.
how she always flashed the Illuminati signs.
And once, she does?
Yeah, and once she was on Oprah, and she asked, Oprah asked her, what does it mean? And she was like, she did it again on live television, and she said, oh, that's just something. You know, that is Rockefeller's symbol. You know, it's just something to honor Rockefeller, you know. It's very fucking weird. You see Jay-Z do this. You know, you see, you know, everybody do the fucking team I do does it.
Symbol that they hold up, and then
yeah.
You can see one eye in it. That's pretty peculiar, if you ask me.
Okay. Well, Evan, do you know any about, you know, if you're talking about Madonna, any of the indicators, you know, what are the signs?
And first of all, as far as Jay-Z goes and her going on Oprah and saying that's Rockefeller's sign, I think it's really funny that Rockefeller is, you know, named after somebody that in our subculture we believe is not just a friend but a partner of the Rothschilds, David Rockefeller and the Rockefeller family. And I think it's funny that Jay-Z wears a shirt and has been in many photos that says, "Do what thou wilt," which is a quote from Aleister Crowley, who had enough Masonic titles to fill up 5 pages front and back if you handwrote them. He was the most decorated Mason of all time.
Evan, that's some satanic shit, man. That is,
That Aleister Crowley admitted to in his diaries consisted of eating shit and killing babies and raping young boys.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
these
cool.
are things
Holy
that he confessed
shit.
To. He confessed to these things. But as far as Monarch Beta programming goes, Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Mariah Carey, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, Lady Gaga, Madonna, even Marilyn Monroe, they all have one thing in common. They've all been blondes at one point in time. They've
Evan,
all been blonde at one point in time.
Evan.
Wudang, go for it.
Yes.
I just want to say something about Crowley. The thing about killing babies had to do with masturbation. And if you read his works, you'll see that. So,
about
you know,
masturbation?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit lost.
Filling seed was what it was about. And it was a tongue-in-cheek thing, but that's what it was. If you read his stuff, you'll see that. So, you know, he's been, I'm not saying he was a great, wonderful person, but... on the killing babies? No, he did not. He was not a proponent of that.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that in. That's all.
And I pulled something out of context. Then was I right about the eating feces part? I know for sure that he's done that because I've seen the documentary on that.
I
know about the Masonic titles, but.
Yeah.
If he is confessing that he's eating shit and killing babies, there's something very fucking wrong with him. No.
Well, Mussolini kicked him out of Italy. Mussolini did kick him out of Italy because of the rumors that were coming out of his compound of what they were doing that included bestiality and things like that.
He did a lot of magical, mystical things.
Yeah,
so
occult
that's one reason why a lot of people didn't like him. But I don't know about the other, but I do know the killing babies was a piece of, I mean, that was not true. It had to do with, quote-unquote, spilling seed.
Most of these things, they're all secret orders. And don't ask me why, but when we are talking about this, it makes me think of a little person, you know, well-known in our community. When we are talking about the pimping out the people, the little girls, the little boys, like Ruth Ann just said, the magic, the occult science and that kind of shit. This is everywhere. These people, they have infiltrated in all kinds of organizations. They are, you know, this is huge. You know, last week there was something from, I can't quite remember it, but it was a foster house, I think. And there were like 70 children were missing. They were fucking gone. And the first thing that came to my mind was human trafficking. Wait, I'm scrolling down right now. I can find it. You know, and nobody sheds a fucking eye. Nobody looks at this. Here, I got it. 87 children missing from Oklahoma Department of Human Services custody. Now that's some crazy shit. You know, if the child.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if the child has been abducted or deemed to be at high risk of harm, the DHS is required to notify the National Central for Missing and Exploiting Children. But what the fuck is going on? They are not doing that shit. They are just putting out an article. That's it. They are not shedding one fucking eye on it. Like, this is normal. You know, almost 80 children are gone. Shit happens. You know, and I think, you know, this is just... This is just work of one of these agencies. This is just high-class human trafficking. And these are all children.
Think about all the other agencies across the world that happens, all the child protection services.
Exactly, and this is just something in the highlights. You know, this happens every fucking day. This is just...
You even have to skim read what's been happening with this Jimmy Savile story in Britain. What was going on in care homes and hospitals and other places across the UK. You know?
Was Savile
that's not
on
even,
England,
going, that's
think,
not even going really deep into it.
Are we talking about Savile?
Was Savile a handler or was he just being rewarded?
He's a procurer.
Okay.
I think that was his role. You know, he obviously abused a lot of people, but what's starting to come out, I think it looks like he got children for other people, and that's why you don't see the investigation going much higher than, you know, a few faded, jaded stars and stuff like that.
Wow. Well, like I said earlier, one thing that I've always noticed with him is I see blonde hair at one point in time, and especially with
I think that's very Masonic, Evan. I think that's a Masonic
is
thing,
it?
That blonde hair. It's something to do with the,
you think?
The like the old view of, you know, what is feminine. But I also heard people talking about the archons, you know, the archonic idea of what, you know, beautiful is, and it is that very, you know, traditionally Aryan view, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, curvy figure.
You should come to the Netherlands.
Well, yeah.
There's all blue eyes and blonde hair.
I don't know why it is, though, they choose it. I can't remember the exact reason why, but I'm sure it has something to do with that. It's like symbolic of something, of their idea of what, you know, femininity is. Or...
Like the Uber race. Not good. Okay. Yeah, it's very fucking crazy.
I just got a message, guys, from somebody I think that's probably on all of our friends listening, Jamie Wiggins Gardner, and she said just something in reference to Crowley about getting in one of his magic in Crowley's book Magic in Theory and Practice. He said something about getting magical satanic power from sacrificing young boys.
Yeah.
I'm not making that claim. That's something I got to check. Ruth Ann would probably know.
You must check it because you have to read all of his works with a different attitude, and he did this on purpose to
why would he do that?
He's highly intelligent and very symbolic. I mean,
yeah.
He really was.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to create his own legend, you know. I think that's what Crowley was doing.
Yeah, that could be.
So the blonde hair is an indicator of beta control, possibly, and it's also a Masonic favorite. Another thing that I've noticed in music especially recently, are these alter egos that these stars claim to have when they're in interviews.
A lot.
And they even release albums underneath these alter egos. Sarah, can you name, like, I mean, you would know better than me, maybe two or three and what the alter egos are?
Whose alter egos? Anybody's?
Anybody. Well, name two or three of anybody and their alter egos.
There's Eminem and Slim Shady.
Great man.
Mariah Carey came out with her Mimi. Beyonce has Sasha Fierce.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nicki Minaj has her Roman Solansky. It goes on and on.
About four, for a start. I can keep going.
We was just talking about this, Evan, about Eminem, and, you know, he got this song Rain Man.
And I
can remember him, you know, well, not I can not remember him, but I know the live show when he came up with this, and he said, I'm not Eminem anymore, I'm not Marshall Mathers anymore, I'm not even Slim Shady anymore, because I will now go under Rain Man. And this song, this is, you know, it is lyrically genius, but there's a big hidden message in it. And I can pop up some of the lyrics, I think I got them here. Let me see. You know, Eminem back in the days, it was something else, you know, he made good music. But if you look now, you know, back in the days he was on drugs, and he just did his thing. And he made fucked up crazy music, and everybody loved it. But I don't know if this is coincidence, but when he got into rehab, and he quit drugs, and then his song came out from I'm Not Afraid, since then, boom, it's just all shitty, fucked up music. And then all the fucking young, you know, the swagger kids, they all dig it. And I can't understand it, because the old school shit is much better. You know, and I got to hear some of the lyrics, you know, from the song Rain Man. Let me see. I ain't got no legs or no brain. Nice to meet you. My name is, I forgot my name. My name was not to became, no, sorry, to become what I became with this level of fame. My soul is possessed by this devil. My new name is Rayman. You know, this is just some crazy shit. And if you
and Rayman is not just Eminem, am I correct? I mean, I believe that Kanye West, Jay-Z, Rihanna, a lot of hip hop stars had songs where
from
they talk about this Rayman entity.
He's supposed to be an entity. Like, it's supposed to be some sort of entity that a lot of them will tap into to get their career going or something like that. They use the Rain Man. And I guess it's supposed to be, like I said, some sort of, like, spiritual entity or something that they take inside of themselves, become
exactly
part of that entity, and then whatever else comes out is Rain Man.
Exactly.
It appears to me too that this Rain Man is only in R&B and hip hop. I mean, I haven't heard it in a lot of just pop music, but mostly in R&B and hip hop, they talk about Rain Man as an entity.
Well, I never heard of this before. I only heard of this about Eminem, but then you told me about Jay-Z and that kind of shit. But I don't listen to that crap, so you know more about that than me.
Well,
and Sarah, I'm going to blame you again. There's some huge static. I'm just going to blame you again.
We blame Sarah every time that we have technical difficulties. And by the way, if anybody wants to call in, we can do it in 7 minutes. I mean, we're gonna take calls in 7 minutes if anybody would like to call in. So
I can remember that your friend wanted to call in. Sergio, I don't know how to pronounce it. I think he was going to call in. Yeah. Let's see. Well.
And Blair sent a link to us
to
talk about some of these celebrity alter egos. We got Lady Gaga has one, Joe Calderon.
Yeah.
This list is huge, man.
Justin Bieber has Shoddy Maine.
God.
We got Sasha Fierce for Beyonce, as Sarah said earlier. We know about Nicki Minaj. see, Courtney Love is Cherry Coco. She's also a blonde. I should note that Eminem dyes his hair blonde.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a natural blonde or not.
No, he's not. Isn't this like
David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust? Wow, the list does go on and on. Those are some of the more famous logos. Let's talk about Meltdowns real quick.
Okay.
I mean, we might have to break for phone calls, but Blair, you were—I mean, we talked earlier about, you know, the sexual trauma and the trauma and up until the point of possibly age 12. Personally, I would say that they would probably stop when they believe that full physical maturity has stopped, like at the end of puberty. So I think, in my opinion, on an individual basis, whenever puberty ends is when it would probably start to taper off. But we've seen a lot of stars have meltdowns. What do you think would cause this break in program?
I think just various things, you know, could be just the fact that I think if a lot of these stars, you know, they start becoming less famous, you know, as they get older, they start hitting 25, 26, they're not selling as much albums, you know, they're at home doing nothing compared to being really busy, you know, maybe their handlers aren't around as much, you know, they start, you know, maybe they start taking drugs and all this sort of stuff. There could be a lot of reasons why the walls in the mind start breaking down and the alters start showing themselves. I think it's just a chemistry as well, you know, I'm no neurobiologist or anything like that, but I just imagine that after a while, you know, the effects are going to wear off, especially if there's not somebody there all the time keeping track of them, you know, the handler there, you know, they go from one place to the other, they're kept busy. It's easier to keep them under control, you know, when they're at their height of their fame, you know, when they're just a descending star and they're, you know, going into rehab more often and this, that, the other, you know. I think it's just, you know, it's just a natural process. It's not going to, these things aren't going to hold.
The secret treatment centers, Blair, that they go to, the secret treatment centers,
exactly.
The undisclosed treatment centers.
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you think causes
cork
the breakdown,
coming up?
Well, I think Blair said something real good right there. I think he said, you know, the walls are breaking down. And I personally think, you know, these people have been in this, you know, let's call it a trance or possession, whatever you want to call it, or an influence from whatever. I think it's more like a mind over matter effect, you know. We can look at Britney Spears and what she did. She went completely loco. She was off the charts. She shaved her head and everybody was feeling sorry for her, but I think that was a real fucking struggle for her. And I think, you know, when I'm talking about Eminem, I think he had the same thing, you know, in the time that nobody heard of him anymore. You know, people see him now like he's just a little Illuminati bitch right now. But I think, I don't know, Eminem, he was different. You know, I was a huge fan of him years ago.
I think he struggles with it. I think
yeah.
He struggles with what he knows is going on, and there's not
exactly
much that he can do about it. And I think that explains a lot of his recent drug problems, too.
Exactly.
What about his lyrics, though, Sarah? I mean, when he sings about this Rain Man, he sings about it as if, and I've heard other lyrics.
The Rain Man thing, though, is like,
it tortures him.
It's more so of a possession kind of thing.
Yeah.
That Rain Man is a possession. He's that entity that will possess you. And a lot of that
I've heard in his lyrics
from
that he feels tortured by it, though. I mean, and I've heard other hip hop artists honor the Rain Man.
Right. I don't think he's doing as well as other people are doing with it. I don't think he agrees as much with it, and I don't think that he knew exactly what he was getting himself into when he started in all this. And
exactly.
I think he battles with that a lot, and I think it shows in his emotions and his face. You can read, he just...
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah, I think he's breaking down, but he's smart enough to know to see it coming. I don't think he wants to be reprogrammed, and I think he's playing ball at this point. I mean, that's my opinion. I think he's playing ball, and
because
his
got no
programming
choice.
Is already broken down. I really do.
No, at this moment, I think he's deep in. I think he's deep in. And before his song from I'm Not Afraid to come out, you know, he was changed when that number came out. He was not Slim Shady anymore. He was not Eminem anymore. He was just some fucking wussy. And that is exactly what they like. You know, look at the fucking music that comes out these days. You know,
oh, yeah.
I hate to call it, but look at Justin Bieber. You know, this is just, I think Eminem, he was real back in the days.
Yeah.
And I think he still is, but I think he's really struggling with it, you know.
And I mean, have you seen Nicki Minaj, before she became famous and how different she looks?
Yeah, of course. Now look at her. She's a fucking makeup doll.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. It's like they put her on a table and literally created her like Frankenstein and put ass implants in her, breast implants, and made her lips bigger.
Have you guys heard of the movie Metropolis? It's from 1929. It was the propaganda movie. I think it started in Germany.
The what? Sorry, what is the name?
It's a movie called Metropolis.
No, never.
Which one?
It's a 1929 propaganda film.
They create this
robotic woman in this shell, and they transform her into a star of what they want her to be. And there's very specific details in it, and they put her in this robotic kind of uniform, right? And you'll see that replete over and over and over again in performances, live performances, VMA, Music Video Award performances on MTV. They do these rituals, and if you have ever seen Metropolis, if you haven't, you should check it out, because they compare it to the live performances, because that's exactly where it comes from in the exact same way. It's very creepy.
Shouldn't we say something about these makeovers, though, because in a way, you know, that's like at the low end of what we're talking about, isn't it? You know, when they take a ban, they're like, well, you know, they give them that speech of, you're not going to sell records unless we change your image and you make your sound a little bit like this or that. And so the fact that, you know, they're even changing, you know, a person or a group and making them what we'd call TV friendly or whatever the fuck, marketing shit, it's still an altar they're creating for these people, and it's still a form of MK Ultra, it's still a form of mind control. You know, they're still doing it, but it's just not the trauma based.
That movie came out in 1929, and they're still using that as the basis of their transformation progress. See, when I watched the performance of Beyonce, and she came out in that exact same style, uniform, clothing, and then when she came out of it, she broke out to Sasha Fierce. So it was her transitioning out of that shell, like a cocoon, like the Mars butterfly or something, into Sasha Fierce, her new personality. So it shows how they transform and become something different.
Yeah. Even if it's something just as innocent as, you know, some marketing guy for the record company saying, you know, you've got to look like this and you've got to sound like that, you know, it's still changing them from who they were.
Right.
You know, we're not getting, you know, say, like this boy band as they are naturally. And they could be like, you know, it could be fine, you know, you could be like, oh, what a nice bunch of lads that is, you know. But you're getting some simulacra version of what they want. They're promoting they want to sexualize the band a bit, you know, and make them so they're attractive to 12, 13-year-olds, because that's who's going to buy their records. And, no, this is all to make money. But it's still a very subtle form of mind control.
Very cool.
Put something in our group chat, in our panel chat, about sex kittens and their outfits. Jack.
Yeah.
What the fuck are these sex kitten outfits? Because I'm looking at it, and all these women do appear to be beta programmed by the things that we've talked about, but they're also wearing a lot of cat attire. What's up with that?
Yeah, they're all wearing, you know, I'm looking to fucking 20, 40 pictures right now. You know, you see everybody, you see Kanye West, you see, what is the little fuck's name? I don't know, you see Justin Bieber, you see Katy Perry, you see Jessica Alba, everybody. They're all wearing, the tiger prints. And this is all the kitten programming, this is all just to show off, I think. You know, because if you look at it like anybody else would, you wouldn't notice this, but if you put it all together, you're like, what the fuck is going on here? This is just some weird fucking shit.
Isn't this a message, Jack, for other people who know who what beta programming is, to know who they are? You know, to everyone else, it's just somebody wearing a certain thing. Yeah.
I think it's a little bit to show off, you know. They love to show off. They love to forecast and shadow their next moves, what they're doing. They just love to brag about it because nobody will see it. Almost nobody will notice this shit.
Well, that's how they get their kicks, you know. That's an inside joke for them, and they love that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fucking dirty inside joke for them. The filthy fucking pickpockets. But what do you think about this player? What is, you know, we got this all, but what do you think is the purpose of it? You know, we got, is it all for the young kids and to subject them to this kind of, this soft form mind control?
It takes us into the region of culture creation. So you end up having MK victims being used to MK Ultra the population. And if that just means that your 9-year-old daughter is dancing around half naked singing some sleazy Britney Spears song, then that's job done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I just got a word from our producer Ruthann that we got a caller, and you know, 2010, we just wanna let him in. Ruthann, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good evening.
Hello?
Hey man,
hello?
How's it going?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah,
sorry.
We can hear
you.
What's up?
Oh, this is Ted Martinez, bro.
Hey man, what's
up? Oh, Ted, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, man. I'm just I kept losing your. I got here 6 o'clock, so I was trying to catch up on the show, and I lost the signal, but I've been keeping up a little bit. Now I it's kind of funny that the stuff y'all talking about past couple of weeks, I've been checking it out on some. You know, on some YouTube, some videos that I've been watching, and it's some weird.
Yeah, it is. It is some weird shit.
You know, y'all were talking about you know, Monarch, about these about the music industry. That's what I was checking out, the music industry, about how they're, you know, the mind control and you know, how a lot of these people, they sold their soul to the devil, man, for their success. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's interesting you say that, Ted, because, I mean, I know you and I've talked before about it, that there is definitely people out there in our movement and outside our movement that would look at these people and say that they were demonically possessed. You know, because it looks like demonic possession, does it not?
Yeah,
if you look
at
it from a religious perspective,
Well, it's funny because I was raised Catholic, and now I was a good Catholic, but my upbringing was Catholic. But as I got older, I was more like I don't need a church. I pray.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
I understand.
And. Before I woke up, what I call waking up, before I woke up, I actually wasn't even going to church anymore or praying, stuff like that, for various reasons. But since I
woke,
you know, the
up,
truth,
say it like
the
that.
Truth is well, the truth is, like, there's so much different parts to it, so many pieces to the puzzle. But it seems like it prepared me to bring back God and Jesus into my life. That's the way I see it. And I know it's not mainstream thought, you know, a lot of people are not into it, you know what I mean? It, you know, but I believe, you know, my belief is that we need Jesus Christ, because I've seen what's going on in our world, and it seems like humanity in general, we're just under assault, man, you know.
Yeah.
And
we are.
You know, and so I've kind of reconciled my beliefs in God with the truth as I see it, as I mean, and I see not you know, the, actually, Evan, you know what, I really give you a lot of credit for opening my eyes to the Luciferian part of it.
Thank
because
you.
Before I spoke to you, another friend of mine, Bonita La Artista, she kind of laced me up about how this is a spiritual thing that, you know, that we're fighting here, you know. And I had seen a long time ago, I had seen Zeitgeist. And it made a lot of sense. It made sense to me. I hate to say it, but when I saw it, it made sense to me, like on an intellectual level.
Understand.
You know?
It's very deceptive, zeitgeist is. So it's very deceptive. It is. I mean, a lot of people build their entire foundation of their version of our movement on zeitgeist when things like, and I was even guilty of it earlier when I said the thing about Crowley possibly taking it out of context. Zeitgeist took a lot of things out of context and piled it together and made it look like, you know, it was truthful. When
who is making money off zeitgeist?
It makes sense. Like when you think of when you're listening to the documentary, you know, it talks a lot about profit, how it's a big problem, you know, how it, you know, the way they spin it, I mean, it makes sense, you know, about profit and money. But that video, Evan, that you suggested to me,
the new age deception. Yeah.
Yeah, that exactly. When I saw that, I had seen another video that was similar to it, but you know what brought it home to me was when they explained about how they flip flop the good and the evil.
Exactly.
And that documentary really brought it home to me. When I see around me, when I see the things that are happening, like with all these like in California with all the homosexuality and about letting kids boys into the girls' locker rooms. You know, it's like the morality part. I mean, morals can change, I guess, but, you know, when you go in and you know, it's just the whole thing, man, communism and the whole deal, you know, the whole agenda, if you think about it, it's just like all rolled up together in one thing, you know.
Communism, where the Bolsheviks killed at least 20 million Christians. You know, Ted, you and I are of like mind on this. The panel, which I have a great panel, I'm on a C-panel diet. When I see panel, I like to eat it. You know, I got a great panel of people. I think there's me, you know, that I agree with you on most things. And then, you know, I think we have a couple atheists on the panel. And then I think, you know, Blair has a much more expanded view on things that's interesting, too. But what it boils down to is we see these people doing in beta program, beta kittens, and we're going to get into the other things, the Monarch 2 later on, Delta, Alpha, Theta, things like that, because there are other methods of programming in Monarch. We see things like butterflies. We see, as Blair said and Jap and Sarah pointed out, we see all these signs and everything. And to me, and I don't know what you think about it, Ted, but whenever they throw up their symbols or you see a butterfly tattoo or a butterfly pendant in their hair or something like that, it's almost like, to me, it's not that they're making fun of us and it's a joke amongst themselves. It's their ego.
Yep.
It is their ego, but not a joking matter, that they have to stamp their people with a trademark, like a logo. That's, I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think, I mean, like Katy Perry, and she had a music video full of monarch butterflies, and she was even in a video, and everybody can look this up, and it's not taken out of context, where she said she used to be a gospel singer, couldn't make it big, and she literally said, "I sold my soul to the devil." Now, she could have been metaphorical, okay? She could have been metaphorical, but I don't know. But we do have a call, guys.
We got the red room, Jeremiah.
Cut you off. We have another call, but Ted, thank you for calling in, man. We've talked so much online, and I'm really glad you caught the show, brother.
Thanks,
yeah, hey, I love your show, man. I'll be on listening to y'all, man. Y'all got a great show, man. Thanks.
Thanks. Right on,
Ted.
Thanks a lot
for calling
in, man.
Bye-bye.
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 Next
Bye-bye.
Caller.
Let's put the Reverend on.
Reverend's on.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, welcome to the show. How you doing?
First, I got to say, oh, my God, I did not expect this kind of show. You guys are fucking awesome.
Thank you.
I did not expect this at all. I did not expect y'all to be covering the Luciferian stuff. Y'all to be carrying covering any of the brainwashing monarch mind control stuff, MKUltra. I didn't expect none of that shit. You guys just blew my mind.
What's funny is we don't expect it either half the time, but we do it anyways.
It just happens.
Wow, dude. I don't have a whole bunch of time, man, but I just want to say that you guys are fucking awesome. Really, I did not expect this. I guess that, my personal stuff, I got to pass all my shit, the arguing and all that. But I didn't expect it. You guys really, you're on point. You really are.
Well, let's put all that bullshit behind. This is about, the truth, just trying to get information out there.
That's what it comes down to. I was talking, I did want to cover one thing. Y'all were talking about the Aleister Crowley killing babies. Well, his rebuttal was that he did that with masturbation, like all the sperm counted as, the kids that he killed. Then that was actually countered back to other things that he actually did through child sacrificing. Now, a thing with this whole Luciferianism is that all the symbolism, everything that they do basically is for their gods. Moloch, Isis, Lucifer, countless of other demigods that they worship.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the goal for these guys is not to trap us. The New World Order don't want to trap us. They want to confuse us so we can trap ourselves, so we can actually give allegiance to them, so they get power off of us. They use these big fucking obelisks that they plant on all these New World Order places, basically to draw our energy. Whether they do it or not, it's whatever, but they do it for that purpose. So that's what it comes down to.
Good point.
So,
no, it's very true.
Yeah, that's it. And the whole thing with Aleister Crowley, I don't know if you heard anything about the Barbara Bush being Aleister Crowley's mom.
Yeah.
They certainly look alike, that's for sure.
They do. And Aleister Crowley was awful. He also played the role of Hitler. He played the role of Hitler, if you do the back-checking on that and just looking at the guys, they actually did the role. Hitler was a role that they used. Basically, to create the Zionist state of Israel, they needed a thing where they could actually do whatever they wanted to, and actually come to bring prophecy into life, and that's what they've been doing with the building the Solomon's Temple and Tower of Babel. They need this stuff to happen. They need it to happen, and it actually goes back into the whole killing God is what they want to do. They want to get rid of the mainstream religion. That's the reason why the Vatican. Is being shown for the evil monsters they are. That's the reason why Israel is being shown for the evil monsters that they are. That's the reason why they're hiring Muslim or fake Muslims to go on the internet or go on the news and talk about Sharia law. It's because they want us to go ahead and just totally ban this idea of God and religion. When in reality, religion is a tool. It can be used for good or evil. You don't get mad at the hammer when the handyman busts your window. Or you get mad at the handyman.
Well, Rev, thank you for calling in, man. I really appreciate it.
Always
we do have another caller on the line, and I can't say we'll all, but I'll personally be tuning into your show tomorrow. Thank you for calling, though, brother.
And you should be tuning in to our show next week.
I'll be here next week.
We're going to have a
tune in next week. But stick with us till the end in chat. Definitely stick with us because we take calls 15 minutes till the end of the next hour too. If you want to call back in.
Yep. Well, I have to use my old lady Skype, so
Okay.
That's
later,
good.
Guys. Hey,
thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, we got another caller.
All right.
Going, wow.
Five. Where's 505?
That's gonna be
505 here.
505.
Okay. Here.
You're on the show, man.
Hello.
All right, I just wanted to give a couple of my ideas through some of my research, and then I wanted to ask you guys about your ideas on a couple of topics here.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so one thing that I found is that the way they control us is not just mind control, like it's all kind of integrated together. It starts with the base as our body through the poisons that they put into us, through the food, the toxins in the air, the water, everything like that.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, it's our mind. They pollute us with all of the different garbage that they put on the TV, predictive programming, stuff like that. And then ultimately, their goal is to corrupt our spirit. So we really have to start with our base in order to protect ourselves against the mind control by eating healthy so that we can think clearly and then in turn act properly.
it's the entire package, you know. It's the GMOs in the foods. It's the aluminum in the air. You know, it's the fucking mind control TV. You know, I have to put on the entire package. You know, that's some global fucking mind control. And I agree. If you put out most of these aspects, you know, like the food, the GMOs, that will protect you a lot more. But I think personally that the most important thing is just to be aware.
And speaking of being aware, that was going to be my next topic, actually, is if you look into Edward Bernays, I don't know if you guys have talked about him yet, and his involvement in social engineering and, getting women to start smoking cigarettes by hiring women to smoke in a parade and call them liberty torches, and a lot of sinister things that he did. He also is kind of responsible for getting fluoride in our water. He petitioned the American Dental Association to allow the disposal of the toxic aluminum waste disposal by dumping it into our water supply and having us process it through our kidneys and absorb it into our bodies and everything like that. So speaking of him, he's also a big founder of modern, he changed the term propaganda to public relations. And is what's governing the advertising, how we get all kind of garbage advertising, mind control crap. And so I think a big thing that we need to understand in order to protect against that is logical fallacies. Yeah. Dr. Michael Lavoisier is a great guy to look to for information on that. And also, Dr. Michael Lavoisier.
Okay.
I think you're a friend of mine.
I believe that you are the husband of somebody that's been a friend of mine for a while too. Am I correct on that?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, I knew because I wanted her to call in because she was mentioning some sources that would be good about researching our topic for the show too, So I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, do you think that by seriously corrupting these stars in entertainment and media, and the fact that media has created this cult of personality for Hollywood in and of itself, that they're trying to corrupt us via people that are extremely corrupt just by watching? And can you name some of the sources that she would say that she was telling me about that everybody can go to? Can you go ahead and do that for me?
Definitely. If you want to look into the definitely a concerted effort to corrupt the culture of America, for sure, if you look into, like, the Deadhead, how they were actually created, a lot of the movement during the 60s was funded and pushed forward by NSA and the CIA. A lot of the famous singers at the time were NSA agents' sons and daughters and stuff like that. And a good source for that would be GnosticMedia.com, a guy named John Irving. He does a lot of research and stuff like that. Yeah, and he also has looked into L. Gordon Wasson. L. Gordon Wasson was a guy who was propagating the whole Amanita muscaria movement during the 60s, and it turns out that his wife was probably actually a Russian intelligentsia agent, and he has correspondences talking about how he used to be in the the Office of Strategic Intelligence. Sorry, my son came in and interrupted me. And how he actually worked with Time Magazine, and Time Magazine has ties with the CIA, the intelligentsia community, and also Edward Bernays has a lot of ties to the intelligentsia community as well. He actually talks about working with AIG for creating CIA assets to spy on, like, Germany during World War II, different things like that. And I believe he was also involved in the Hart Carbine scandal, where he had bought a bunch of rifles from the government, supposedly, that were dysfunctional, and then he sold them back to the government. And he bought them for like a buck or two a piece, I guess, and then sold them back to the government for like 14 or 15 bucks a piece, made a fortune off of it. And then all these soldiers went out on the battlefield with dysfunctional rifles and ended up getting slaughtered because of it. And Edward Bernays kind of helped him out of that little mess there, according to the story anyway. Some research for everybody else.
That's a
wow.
Very good fucking info. That's some good
wow.
Info.
So let me ask you this real quick, because we're gonna get back to the show. It sounds like when we do our show on Delta programming, you might have quite a bit of knowledge about that. Am I right?
Like
Manchurian candidates and things like that? Because, you've talked a lot about the military and things.
It's a Delta program.
Well,
is that for the assassins? Is that for
the
assassins?
I've just been getting into the mind control aspect of it, kind of delving deeper into it. Before, I've been looking at the occult manipulations behind the scenes, really, like, most modern religions, I've come to the conclusion, are mostly allegories for basically how the human mind works. I think that's what the occult is an understanding of human psychology, and that's why these human psychologists have been able to socially engineer and steer society the way that they have. A lot of people want to attribute it to some kind of supernatural force. As far as that, my mind is open. I can't say it's not. But at the same time, I see that there definitely are people out there that have been studying how the human mind works, herd mentality, how do you manipulate and steer people, the whole problem, reaction, solution thing, and, left wing, right wing, same bird. It's all about getting people to pick teams to, the logos for football teams or whatever. Mm-hmm. People don't usually pick a football team because they just love that team. It's because of the logo associated with it. The players are constantly changing. The coaches change. The owners change. All that is the logos, which in Greek is like basically equivalent to the gods. Or even on computers these days, we have computer icons. An icon is like a religious icon, basically. Our TVs, we tune in for our regularly scheduled mind programming. What do we listen to on the TV? It's the media. Media is just a singular word for medium, in the plural, which is a medium, channels, and we tune into our channels. They have a lot of words, a lot of things that really show that our society has been engineered to control our minds, and then ultimately I think it's all about control for domesticating the human species. That's what eugenics is, and a lot of these guys that you see their names keep coming up over and over, eugenics.
So you're saying it's like a scorched earth method. I mean, they've surrounded the campfire, and they're hitting us from every direction. It doesn't matter where we look, basically.
Exactly. I mean, it's either way. We still have to try to do what we can do to learn, to understand for ourselves, and to share with other people the information that we learn and let them form their own opinions. But ultimately, I think one of the main messages I would like to get out there is that we're facing a war between collectivism and individualism, because if you look at Hitler, if you look at Stalin, if you look at Mussolini, if you look at Mao, any of these dictators out there, they've always enticed people with that wonderful promise of everybody joining together to share in the efforts and everything.
Exactly.
For the benefit of everybody, which sounds really good in
theory. Right on board.
But then they always enforce it in using force, using violence, actually.
I'm all saying this about Hitler and Obama. They look, I'm not trying to compare them, but Hitler was in the middle of an economic crisis, and he promised change and work for everybody and healthcare. And what is Obama doing? He's doing exactly the same shit, and only
now
people.
Yeah, except Hitler actually did it.
Yeah,
Hitler actually did it. And I did a show, the last show we did, because you were gone, Jack, and we were going to take a break, between the mind control thing on the one of the Rothschild banks.
Yeah, man.
We could go even further behind these dictators and say, who gave them their money? I mean,
yeah.
how did a commoner like Hitler, a failed painter, come to power so quickly?
The fucking Zionist scumbags. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I have a huge problem with the Rothschild family, considering they control. And if I know my friend from Israel is listening, I'm sorry, Limor. because she lives in Tel Aviv, and there's a Rothschild on the currency of Israel.
Yep,
I mean, there's a picture of a Rothschild on the currency. They do not. The Israelis know who built
That's
their country,
hurtful.
And they appreciate it. I appreciate it, but Stalin and Hitler and all these people, and possibly even Obama with George Soros backing him financially and backing him up so much, who's, for me, and if I did another show, I could prove it, you know, a Rothschild agent.
Well,
I mean, there are bigger powers even behind these things that are just, they're marionettes that are controlling marionettes that are controlling marionettes that are controlling us.
Exactly.
What's happening. For me, that's my perception.
Yeah. Who do you?
I would like to take it a little bit further, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, like the Rothschilds, for instance. Through my research, I've come to the conclusion, and I'm open to anybody else's opinions on this for sure, but it seems to me like they've actually made their success by being a banker for the Vatican and by being bankers for Britain also. And if we look into this stuff, I really see strong Jesuit ties all the way throughout. I know you guys probably already know that the Jesuits are basically the army of Jesus. It is a military order. And whenever they were sending missionaries over here to America, whenever Columbus supposedly discovered America, during that time, the missionaries, even the word mission, is synonymous with military action. And Aries... missionaries, they didn't send one missionary, they sent a bunch of missionaries, and the end of that is Ares, the god of war, also. So that really ties in an occultic aspect to it, and I think
the leader of the Jesuit order too, Damon, he's called the Superior General, and the Jesuits were created in order to suppress heretics, what the Vatican considered heretics, and it was founded by Saint Ignatius Loyola and St. Francis Xavier. I did a blog on the Pope and the Malachi prophecies and about him being a Jesuit. So when you said Jesuit, it was, I mean, a huge connection for me. And as far as the Rothschilds doing business with the Vatican, you're spot on, because one of Mayor Rothschild's five arrows, one of his sons, the one that they consider to be the dumbest, Carl actually formed a fantastic relationship with the Pope at the time, and they proved that Carl had so much influence with the Pope that when he kissed his ring, he did not bow down, which was mandatory for everyone else. Carl kissed his ring as an equal, and I have always wondered, because I'm of the opinion that the Templars were the world's very first international bankers, that Mayor Rothschild did not, in fact, get his start from collecting rare coins and being able to fund, you know, dynasties and royal families. I think the Vatican gave him some money, and they used him as a hand, and that hand grew into a full body. And now they're equals, they're partners. And, I mean, everybody knows Evelyn is the banker for the royal family. He's the financial advisor.
I hate that.
Evelyn and Nathan are the British counterparts, and then you have what's his name? You have Guy de Rothschild, Guy. I'm sorry, that's how they pronounce it in France. Guy de Rothschild and Victor from France. They are spread out, and that's how they do things. And now they have agents all over. I believe Nathan isn't so much British as Baron Jacob de Rothschild is. Nathan kind of travels around, and he's in a feud with a billionaire in the Far East right now, which that'll be interesting to see how that goes, considering all the money the billionaire has was printed by the Rothschilds. So that'll be interesting to see how that happens. We're getting off topic here. I'm sorry about that. I wanted to get back to the occult and then mind control. But let me end this with you, Damon, perhaps maybe after this is over or tomorrow, you and I have to talk about coming on the show. Maybe a symbolism show, or maybe one of the shows in the mind control series. I'd like to have you on the panel because. You know, is that a panel in your pants, or are you just panel to see me? We're pretty awesome. We're pretty awesome, like the good reverend said. So, I mean, when you join the panel, you get cool points.
Oh,
so,
we'd love to have one, man. You've got some
amazing ones. Yeah, definitely. Hey. Love to have you on, and want to thank you for calling. I really do.
Okay, yeah, for sure, dude. I definitely am not going to try to portray myself as any kind of expert, but I research constantly. I've been researching for many years about this stuff. So
yeah, I can hear that.
I have no problem sharing my information I've discovered, helping other people to review through this information and help me to come to understanding what the truth is. So I have no problem doing that.
Sounds good. That sounds good. We got to get back on top. We got to get back on the show because we've gone 20 minutes on this, which I'm glad that we did, actually.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead. One more thing.
Go ahead, man.
Okay, so my overall view of this is that basically it's kind of like a big, long scam, basically. Over time, there's a group called the Venetians, which are from the area in Italy and everything like that, why Venice is called Venice in the first place and stuff. And one of their war tactics that they used to do was go around to a country or an area that they wanted to conquer, and they would spread false prophecies that country was going to be destroyed because of their sinfulness and different things like that. So ultimately, like, it's a mind control type of tactic that they use to destroy the morale of the people of the area. And then whenever they do come in, and maybe even they have agents that are within that fulfill these prophecies for them, that does a big mind work on the people and makes it harder for the people to be able to resist. And I think that's really what this is all about. They're trying to steer things like controlling the weather with harp and different things like that. Possibly, you know, I don't have definitive proof, but through my research it seems that way. And especially if you really...
Well, I'd say 70% stake in the largest weather geoengineering firm by the Rothschilds is a pretty good, at least at the very least,
pretty big
strong circumstantial evidence that they are trying to control the weather. And the last show I did was on their global environmental facility trying to control food. And now we have mind control. So we have weather control, we have food control, we have mind control. They're trying to control everything.
Yeah.
Okay, they really are.
All the things that you're saying, I do have a lot more to say on it. I know we have to move on and everything, but I'll try to do more research and actually get my sources together so that the next time we talk about this, I can be a little more confident in my answers.
Well, I think you did great.
It was perfect.
I think you did great, and I'd love to have you on the panel.
Exactly.
I really would. I'd love to have you on the panel.
Well, I want to do anything I can to help because I know our situation is looking dire unless things change soon.
Likewise. Yeah. Very true.
Matt, so I'd appreciate the forum as well.
Yeah, man. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in, man. We'd love to have you on.
Yes, thank you, brother. And you
and
I will talk later tonight or tomorrow about a future show, okay, Damon?
Okay, good talking to you guys.
Okay, all
right,
man, thanks
brother,
for calling in. Okay, let's continue. Evan.
That was a great caller. That's a perfect example, Jap. If I can speak for you, of putting the hammer down. I mean, he really put the hammer down.
He put the fucking hammer down. We need to get
Blair,
more hammer, man.
What Blair wanted to expand on something he said earlier. Blair, tell everybody what your opinion of a piece of what Damon said. Go ahead and let us know about that.
Yeah, it was that little bit we mentioned, Edward Bernays. That's a really good example of when he started totally doing the mind control on a large scale, because they took it from all the PSYOP stuff they were doing in the military, and he said, I can use what you've learned and I can make people buy stuff they don't really need or want. And they were like, it was like America was booming, you know, there was new things and there was lots of manufacturing and lots of things to sell, and you know, here was a guy who was saying, I can sell you like 10 times as much as people would normally buy. And of course, all the advertising agencies said, go for it. And he did. And he basically appealed to people's emotions and used that against them. It's like knowing what they desired, but they only desired it because they felt they were lacking something. So they've got these desires to be and do all these things. And like, here, have a product. That's an age-old technique to try to
influence people's emotions and to get on their side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What about the emotion of lust, guys, gentlemen especially? I don't mean to not include you, sir, but I mean when you stimulate people's emotions, you got to talk about sex. You got to talk about sex. I mean, sex sells, and it seems like they're sexualizing a lot of these girls that we've been that we've referred to as beta kittens, and they're using sex to sell. Am I right or am I wrong?
I was going to say something about Kesha. You know, we all know Kesha.
Yeah.
And I got to say, before I know this shit about her, then that's just one. Well, you know what I mean. You know, but she sold out. And she has, I think it's her brother. She always goes with her on the tours and that kind of shit. But Kesha is a perfect fucking example of how these type of things work. She is a perfect example of a beta mind control victim, you know.
She's definitely a beta kitten.
Look at her.
She's dyed her hair. Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Look at her video. You know, die young. You know, if you got a good eye and you look at that. You know, it's you know, fucking kids watch that shit. 14-year-old kids watch that shit, and they have no idea what is going on, and they get all these subliminal messages, all the fucking pentagrams, and all the lyrics. You know, I can't remember the lyrics because I didn't listen to it, but I saw the video clip once, and that's just some satanic fucking shit.
Well, she basically says over and over again, if you don't remember the song, the only line that'll stick in your head if you don't remember the lyrics is "We're all gonna die young." We're all going to die young. And when did she come out with that song? When did this beta kitten come out with that song? And when did it top the Billboard charts? Right before
Sandy Hook.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not implying anything.
No,
but
that's fairly true.
Just throwing it out there.
In this song, is she says, "Let's make the most of the night like we're going to die young." And that is a very popular theme in a lot of the pop songs these days. It's just so, you know, YOLO. You only live once. Live in the moment.
I was just going to say that. You're fucking. Oh,
yeah, I was too. I was too, yeah. The panel is of one mind. The panel is a single consciousness. The panel is perfect. The panel came from another planet whose father was named Pan-El. Panel said it was good.
I'm from the Bruce
Zone.
Pulled up here from a Selena Gomez song, and it says, "What have we got to lose? Live like there's no tomorrow, because all we have is here right now."
Yeah. I just want to say this real quick, Sarah. Sorry to interrupt you. You know, we talked about Kesha, Dayone, and Sandy Hook. Now look at Lil Wayne and fuck the Aurora shooting. We talked about this another time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it was released 6 days before the Aurora shooting happened, and you see this movie theater, and he's sitting there, he's singing, you can call it whatever you want, and you see all these fucking skeletons in the seats. You know, this shit is not fucking coincidence. Come on, man. This is fucking mass media control. Then you get the shit on fucking CNN. You know, if you look at, about Sandy Hook, I'm pretty positive that I can say that nobody fucking died there. Because I saw the fucking footage, that it just looked like a fucking Hollywood set. I don't know exactly about the Aurora shooting. I haven't done much research in that, to be honest. But if you tie those things together, you know, we got Kesha, a perfect mind control victim. Then we got Lil Wayne, you know, fucking mind control piece of shit. You know, what is this all about? Why are they trying to tie these things together? Is this just another inside job? What is this? What do you think about this, Evan? Because I'm a little bit lost at that topic.
Well,
no,
I mean, I just want to say something about Lil Wayne, and I want to say something about Chris Brown that they had in common. And Blair and I talked about this the other day on chat, and I wanted to include Sarah in this too, is they both had seizures in public, what doctors were calling epileptic seizures.
Epileptic.
Now, I just want to put a what if. If it was me, if I was a handler, I would want to do everything I could to prevent things from happening like what Roseanne Barr did, where she's come out and talked about MKUltra in Hollywood. I would want to do things to prevent what Michael Jackson did and the things that he said. Let me go to Sarah first, and I'll finish with Blair. Sarah, do you think that these seizures with these hip-hop stars, do you think that might be like a trigger
breakdown
for their handlers to know that the programming is starting to break down?
Yeah, it could be. I think that sounds pretty reasonable. It could be a number of different things.
I mean, it could be drug induced because the whole what is the thing that they like to drink, codeine, and then they'll put Percocet in it and something like that, and Phenergan. I don't remember what they call it in hip hop, but I mean those things can certainly cause seizures. But to say that they both had epileptic seizures and it just kind of sort of happened recently, I mean, it could be drug induced. It
I
could be, but
I don't think it is.
Whatever programming they had to go through for whatever role they were going to be playing, whether it was going to be, you know, a victim themselves or a handler, I think whatever, that you have to go through something to get to that level, I'm sure. And either way, I'm sure there's some of that, like, built up in their brains that just comes out sometimes. You know what I mean?
Blair, what's a good indicator that their programming is starting to break down? Well, first of all, what do you think about Chris Brown and Lil Wayne? Is it possible that they could do something like that? When I say they, I mean handlers and programmers, to where they could put in, like, something subliminal that they would, you know, start, you know, if you da-da-da or some sort of a command or something breaks down, that they just could start falling down and shaking? I'm just speculating, and I think you would probably know better. So, well, I mean, what do you think about the breakdown, and what are the indicators of the breakdown that we would see? What's classic to you?
Yeah. Well, what I would say is that even in a normal person who has just suffered a traumatic experience, and they haven't like gone through what some of these people have gone through, you know, as far as, you know, the trauma they've had to endure, even that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have that effect. Trauma is always wants to come to the surface because it's part of your natural function to repress it, but it's also part of the natural function for it to come out eventually. Because it's not meant to stay there forever. It's meant to be a stopgap check for this trauma you couldn't deal with at the time. Do you know what I mean? So in somebody who has been through what they've been, you imagine the amount of trauma that is continually trying to break through the walls in the mind, and you know it's come back to memory. So if they start having memories, it's like, remember the scenes in, what's the Matt Damon films, The Bourne Supremacy and stuff like that. Remember he keeps having these flashbacks, and that's the memory, and that's where the trauma's going to come to the surface. So maybe, you know, if somebody's having seizures, it might just be, could be a bodily defense against upcoming trauma. It could be drug-induced. It could be a few things.
I saw something really crazy one time, Blair, on Diane Sawyer with Britney Spears. She was doing an interview, and all of a sudden she stopped, and she looked to the side, and she goes, "What?" And then she does some more talking to something that's not there, and she goes, oh my God. And then she goes back into it, and I've seen other clips of her where she's gone into her alter ego, where she's no longer a blonde but a brunette, and she's speaking in an English accent. And it's a perfect English accent. It's perfect.
That's crazy. That's just that's a perfect example of another personality just pops out, because that is crazy. You can just, you know, you can practice an accent, but you can't, you know, just, I don't know how to say that, but that's beyond crazy.
And she seemed to believe it, didn't she?
Yeah.
It's most, you know, she was that person. Yeah.
I heard that she had a song that her people didn't want to promote. This was during her breakdown, and the lyrics were very symbolic, and were basically, it was her screaming for help and trying to make people aware of what was going on. They played it for a little while. We got to find that song for people, and everybody listening to our listeners, you know, we'll start putting stuff up about and putting these videos and things up. Especially go to our news page, Thor's Days Hammer Down News Group. Thor's Days is spelled kind of different. So, I mean, if you put in Facebook and you go to Hammer Down News Group, you'll find us. We're gonna put some of these videos up. Of Britney breaking down, of Michael talking about it, of Roseanne talking about it. We'll have Blair do some great logos and things like that. We'll have Sarah find some lyrics, and Jap and I will promote the hell out of it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We're going to start putting some of this stuff up. I mean, we have to. I mean, we really do. I just got a message from Damon about, you know, the decompartmentalization of these people due to satanic ritualistic abuse. And Sarah, when I was home last time, when we were out, I talked to you and I said it's very important when we talk about MK and we talk about programming and breaking people down that we maybe we should do this with Delta. We need to talk about the Temple of Set and Major Michael Aquino, who was its founder and high priest, and who was caught up in a scandal as well. And you've mentioned before Kathy O'Brien and some other people, but we have to talk, at least in Delta, about Major Michael Aquino, the founder of the Temple of Set. I know about this stuff. We have to talk about it because he was indicted for a big daycare satanic ritualistic abuse scandal. Michael Aquino was a major in the military with some of the highest class of security class that one could possibly have. And he's the only man in the military where there is a satanic church that's allowed, okay, in the military, as far as, like, when you talk about, like, when you go to a hospital and you go down to the little church room that they have. Michael Aquino has a satanic church that's attached to the military. This is a fact. Michael Aquino's Temple of Set is also the only satanic group that is tax-free and considered a religion by the United States government.
Really?
Not even the Church of Satan can hold these credits. Michael Aquino and the Temple of Set, that, I mean, it's big. Him being a major in the military and talking about Delta, I mean, maybe we need to do like a closing show and include him in it, because I don't even know. I don't even know how to begin to explain the things that how brilliant he was, and he's legendary in the occult as well. He's a legend, and there's even a story about him called the Diabolicon that he did in the Vietnam War, some sort of magic ritual that he did. And of course it's a theory and it's speculative, but I'm sure we'll do occult and symbolism shows and Sandy Hook shows and things like that. But we will be will be doing something about mind control, and we will talk about Michael Aquino. We have to. Because when he got caught up with this scandal for the sexual abuse, the satanic ritualistic abuse, things that Kathy O'Brien talked about, which she's shaky. There's a lot of holes in her stories. If I wanted to play devil's advocate, I could possibly break it down if I wanted to. But at the same time, she's pretty consistent. She really is. Michael Aquino, though, with his sexual abuse, to give everybody the ending, the whole scandal and everything, he and his wife Lilith, they were acquitted. All charges were dismissed. But all the kids had the same fucking story. They had the same fucking story. So, for me, I don't know about you guys, but for a satanic ritualistic abuse, that would definitely decompartmentalize somebody and call it dissociative personalities. I mean, am I right?
Exactly.
And a lot of people say that it's a myth, and I know about the TOS, and they have never, at lower levels, advocated hurting children or animals, and no satanic group ever has come out and publicly stated that. But at the same time, do serial killers come out and say, hey, guess what, I'm going to kill this next person? No. When you have a Freemason as a friend and you ask him questions about Freemasonry, how can you ever believe a Freemason who literally goes through a ritual where they swear blood oaths that they'll never tell their secrets?
Exactly.
How can you believe a person who says those things? You can't.
Well, Evan, I got to say, I know one Freemason, and he teaches me a lot. He was a 33-degree Mason, and I've spent literally like 2 years with this dude. He teaches me everything. He hated the Freemasons. He still hates the New World Order. This dude is a fucking hero. He teaches me everything I know.
And I think it's more a personal thing. And yes, they had the, how do you say that, the bloods, fuck, how did you just say that, Evan? The blood order or something like that.
Oh, they swear a blood oath.
That's what I'm talking about.
If they're a 33 degree Mason, Jack, that means they've taken at least 33 blood oaths at different levels. And we can tie that back into our very own topic here with Pink and a performance she did where she was blindfolded and she had one of her pant legs pulled up and she did a performance like that. And that is how, that is one of the opening rituals to become a Freemason.
Yep.
That is one of the opening rituals to become a Freemason.
That was on MTV Video Music Awards, I believe it was 2009 when that came out.
Exactly.
She didn't perform
on that. I would bet the entire panel's balls that she's a beta kitten.
She was coming out there to do a set. She wasn't coming out there to do a performance or a little clip of a show or anything. The only reason they brought her out is because they were doing that. They put the blindfold on her and they exposed one half of her side, had one piece leg up, and they drew her up. That was it. That was the only reason that she was out there
with you. You're breaking a little bit up, Sarah. Just a little bit.
Well, basically, I kind of heard what you said. I mean, she basically came out just to do the ritual. There was also another thing, and we're running short on time because our second hour is actually not an hour. It's 50 minutes. there was a thing with Madonna where she did a performance with Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears, and it's like, a lot of people said when she kissed Britney, and then Britney had her breakdown after that, it was basically like a passing of the torch,
like
a ritual. And I want to say something right now about Madonna. I've been dying to say this. I think she is probably, besides Marilyn Monroe, and we could do a show about her being a beta kitten too, and fucking the president of the United States. I think Madonna has gone beyond being controlled by anybody. I think she was at first. I think she was a beta kitten. I think she was beta monarch. But she is a high priestess of the Kabbalah. She has an alter ego called Esther.
She
pulls strings. She's got power now. Am I right? Am I right on that? I mean, you guys have seen her performances, I'm sure. I mean, I think she lives in your neck of the woods even, Blair. But she has power. She has power. And I don't think anybody controls her anymore. I mean, could I be right that they could? Let me ask you this, Blair. Could they embrace their programming and love it so much that they don't give a shit and there's no way to break it down?
I don't think they love it, to be honest.
You know, I'm sure in Madonna's mind, she is like a fucking superstar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. So, I don't think they love it, to be honest. I don't think, you know, like we said in the beginning, I think they don't know any better, to be honest. You know, that's my opinion.
I think Madonna knows better now. I think she knows better, guys. She's been around too long. She's been around too long, and her performances are too ritualistic. She's got too much power, and she's considered a high priestess in circles of the Kabbalah, and she was a fucking beta kitten. I know she was. I know she was. I know in the heart of the panel, she was a beta kitten.
You're swearing on our balls and our hearts, dude.
Betting the balls of the panel and knowing in the heart of the panel, I'm sorry for risking the panel's organs, but I really, really believe that. Sarah, real quick, give 2 minutes because I got to close out and promo the next show. What's your opinion of Madonna?
I believe you hit it. She's the high priestess. As far as they're concerned, she's on the queen level. She's paid her dues. She's done exactly what they've told her to do, and I think that she does have a little bit of the perks and advantages and things like that. But I think underneath it all, I think that she's still just a beta kitten. She's just a higher up.
Dude, she's like, I mean, if she's the leader of the pride. I mean, she's gone beyond female beta kitten. She's fucking Simba.
Everybody wants to be like her. They mimic her. They want to have her style. Everybody wants to be the new Madonna.
And the new Madonna is probably Lady Gaga. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Not this week, not next week, everyone. I want to go ahead and promo since we've got 5 minutes left, and I fucked up and didn't warn everybody about, you know, callers for this last hour because I went on a rant. I'm sorry. but I had to get that out about
that's
the
temple okay.
set. But in
that's
two
okay,
weeks,
man.
We will continue this beta programming, and I'm going to talk to Damon Gardner and get some more stuff from him and his wife and everyone else. Pass us stuff along on Facebook. You can Evan Batterton, you can find me. I've got the Thor Hammer logo, but I mean, find us through our group and find us individually. Dominus Equiparvi is Jap's new name. That means the Lord of Small Horses.
You got it.
Blair goes under Filter HQ. You can find Sarah as Anonymous Fox. That's three words, A-N-O-N-I. M-Y-S-S for the second word, and then Fox, F-A-W-K-E-S.
Thank you.
Next week, we have a very controversial guest in the movement in the side world on. He is a friend of Jap and I's. He's the man known as Brain Freak. He's been in the movement for a long, long time. He was one of the original truthers in the cyber world, and I believe it's there's been some controversy and some feuding. He's going to come on. He's going to talk about the work that he does, the work that he's done,
and the work that
his skills, his experiences, the people he has problems with. He's going to talk about infiltration of the movement. I'm really, really excited to have this guy on because he's very well known and
very good guy.
You can find him. You can look his site up right now at www. And this is all one word: the Black Packet. The T-H-E Black Packet, just like you're spelled, all one word. .com.
The
go
Black
look Brain up.
Com.
Yeah, go look Brain up. If he wants us to reveal his real name on the show next week, we will do that. Ooh, me panel, long time. Does everybody want to say something before we go?
Holy
Sarah,
shit.
Go ahead. We'll start with you, and we'll finish with my co-host.
What do you want from me?
I just want, what are your thoughts
what
on
do you
the show?
Want from
Give
me?
Us a quick thing, and then pass the ball to Blair, and then Blair will pass it to Jack.
I thought it was a great show. I'm glad I could be here. I can't wait till we can do some more on this topic, because it just... there's just so much that we just can't cover in 2 hours.
Everybody can bet that the hammer's coming down again. We're not done with Beta Blair. What do you think?
Yeah, good stuff, Kevin. Yeah, good stuff. Thank you. It was a great caller that we had. Yeah. Some really good info there. Yeah. It's,
great callers today.
To come back
great
and
callers.
A bit more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely do that.
Damon definitely put the hammer down, and he's sending me messages that are just incredible. Jap, my brother, pro hammer. I want to ask you how the King of Spain is doing, but I can't because it has nothing to do with the show. But what are your close? What's your GDP of the Netherlands? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, but what? No, go ahead.
What's the gross domestic product percentage of the Netherlands? But I won't ask you that. I won't ask you about its climate. I just really want to fuck with you about your country for some reason. But why don't you go ahead and close us out, brother? Talk about Monster Beta and sex and close us out because one that. Hey, give me something to laugh at. Give me something to laugh at.
Well,
let's get some of that in there.
Yeah. Well, I think we got about 2 minutes left. 1 minute and 30 seconds. I'm cracking up over here. God damn it. Well,
Jap is having a laugh.
I'm hating this panel. Well, I just want to thank everybody for listening in. And of course, I want to thank everybody. Sarah, you've been amazing. It's always your fault, you know this. Blair, Blair, we love to have you on, like always, man. Always love your opinion on everything.
Cheers,
Evan, my co-host, my fucking psycho hammer carrier. Always love to do the show with you. Evan is having
definitely
a lot.
Glad your brother's okay, too, on a serious
note. Yeah, man.
Glad your brother's okay. But his brother was shot, everyone, and his brother is okay. So.
Yeah, he's okay. He's doing good. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody for calling in, for listening in, for participating. We hope to see you all next week. Hope you're all listening in. Hope you enjoyed it. And we see you all next week. Thursdays, hammer down.
What a coincidence that it's on Thursday. We put the hammer down.
What a fucking coincidence. Like we planned it out.
I mean, it works out. I mean, if we get bumped to a different day, we can always figure something out. But either way,
right,
whether it's a troll, whether it's a topic, whether it's a conspiracy, the hammer comes down.
Always. Hey, this
plain
music is kind of cool, man. Who picked the music for this year?
Well, I don't know who picked the music, but the opening music sounds like it was from Phantasm, and that's a horror movie I'm a huge fan of. Blair, by the way, 5 out of 5 stars for Phantasm from me. Check it out if you haven't.
I will do, man. Well, thanks,
all right,
everybody.
Guys. And everybody, I'm getting a lot of messages. Everybody really loved the show, and the panel is a unit on this. Jeff and I may be the host, but Sarah and Blair were definitely the legs who kept us up and kept us walking on this. I mean, we could not have done it without them, and the panel is one, and the panel says it's good, and it is. And someday I will tell the story of panel, how panel started as a young cypress tree, and I will tell everybody about its origins.
Okay, then. That
all right, we're
today
out. Thank you, everybody, and good night. Next week, a brain freak. That's what
hell
we're
yeah
doing.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.